National Broadcasting Company present, transcribed, Sir Ralph Richardson in Theatre Royal.
This is Ralph Richardson. Our story today is by Joseph Conrad. Many of you will be familiar with his wonderful tales of the sea. Conrad himself was a sailor by adoption. Born in Poland, he made the sea his profession, and he spent a good part of his life upon it. This tale, unlike many of his best known, is a comedy. But everything he wrote breathed the very spirit of the life he knew so well. I myself will play the part of Captain Johns in this adaptation of Joseph Conrad's story, The Black Mate.
You know, Johns is of the opinion that every sailor above 40 years of age ought to be poisoned. Shipmasters in actual command accept him.
It's decent of you to make an exception in your own case anyhow, Captain.
It's all very well to joke, but nowadays, if a ship's got to pay anything at all, she's got to be driven hard on the passage and in the harbour. The sea's no place for elderly men. Only young men and men in their prime are equal to the modern conditions of push and hurry. You seem to forget that this is 1884.
Well, we're agreed about the year anyhow.
Well, I know you think I'm hard-hearted and unsympathetic. Well, I'm not really. I never want to see the day when steam navigation does away with sail. It'll be a bad day for all of us. When it does too much in this bowing down to speed and what they call progress.
I think you're right there, Captain.
Don't blame me for insisting on younger men for my ship. I'm only carrying out the policy of the owners, as a master's bound to do, whether he agrees with it or whether he doesn't. But just because I believe that, you can't accuse me of wanting to poison people.
But what's to be done with men who are getting too old for the job? You're a kind-hearted fellow, aren't you? Poison them painlessly and put them out of their misery.
Make ghosts of them, in fact.
Exactly. All the more chance of your having communication with a world of spirits. Isn't that how you put it?
All right. You can laugh. Personally, I don't see anything funny in ghosts. I happen to believe in them, that's all. I believe they can help us, and I believe that they can harm us.
Yeah, but has anybody ever seen a ghost? I haven't. Have you?
No, I haven't. But I'm not such a fool as not to believe in them. Their power to harm us or their power to serve us. I wouldn't like to live in a world that had no ghosts. With a hard impersonal as these new ships with steams giving us, a clipper ship has a soul. It's a living and feeling thing. Now, surely you agree with that?
Oh, yes, indeed. A clipper's as human as the men who sail her.
Very well, then. I wouldn't look for a ghost in one of these iron monstrosities that steam's bringing in. But just think that our ships and the ships we sail have souls in them. So I believe that the souls live on, too, and they play their part in other people's lives. In fact, I know they do. Mm-hmm. You remember the ship that I had 2 years ago? The Sapphire?
Oh, yes, I remember her. Quite a nice trim to her.
Yes, as good a ship as ever sailed. Do you remember the mate I had in her once for the Calcutta run? A fellow called Bunter?
A dark, hairy pirate of a fellow with a short black beard?
That's the fellow. The Black Mate, they used to call him.
The Black Mate, that's right.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, what became of him? I only remember seeing him with you the once.
Well, I only had him with me for the one voyage.
Well, what happened to him?
I shall never know. But I can tell you one thing. Bunter, the Black Mate, had cause to remember his trip in the Sapphire.
He had? Why?
Because, gentlemen, Bunter saw a ghost in the Sapphire. And what did it do to him? The terror he felt. Well, I better go back to the beginning, I suppose. Do you remember he was rather a striking-looking chap? Fair-skinned, but hair as black as a raven. Well, that's how he got his nickname, the Black Mate.
Yeah, if you'd put a red sash round his waist and a red handkerchief round his head, he'd have looked like a buccaneer. What ship had he been with before the Sapphire?
He'd not had a ship for some time, I gather. Seen better days. Earlier on, he commanded the Sumatra, a Liverpool ship, and he lost her in the Indian Ocean. He had his certificate suspended for a year. After that, he'd not been able to get another command. He'd been knocking round about the Western Ocean trade, and then he sailed with me. I've reason to believe, gentlemen, that that was the last voyage he ever made. There was something mysterious about the fellow. You sensed it as soon as you got into conversation with him. He was taciturn, kept very much to himself. He rarely spoke until he was spoken to, and he was proud. Oh, good sailor, of course. I'll give him that. Rather too sure of himself. He needed taking down a peg or two. Wind appears to be veering a bit, Mr. Bunter.
Yes, sir.
Maybe in for a bit of a blow tonight.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bunter, you haven't picked up that book I was telling you about, the one on spiritualism?
No, sir.
You find it very illuminating. I don't suppose you've given the subject much thought.
No, sir.
Far too few people do. You know, I like to converse with my officers, you know. There are masters that have never opened their mouths, some of them from the beginning of a passage to the end, for fear of losing their dignity, I suppose. Well, what is it, after all, the bit of position that a man holds? Now, take a subject that interests me. Communication with the world of spirits. Oh, it's a very solemn subject, Mr. Bunter. I've given a great deal of study to it. Spirits, male and female, show a great deal of refinement in a general way, don't they?
I don't know.
That's because you don't want to. Yet there are books full of instances, authenticated instances, of supernatural apparitions. Professor Cranks has written on the subject exhaustively. One of the most important men in science. Not only seen ghosts, but written about them exhaustively.
Excuse me.
Well, I tell you quite frankly, Mr. Bunter, you're one of the most obstinate, prejudiced men I've ever met. However, I've told you that you can have any book on the subject of ghosts and spiritualism that I have in my bookcase. You can just go to my stateroom and help yourself, Mr. Bunter. I did my best to convince the fellow. Night after night, I took the trouble to come up on deck during his watch just to reason with him, as one man would to another, on a subject which, after all, concerned him no less than all of us. Wind's getting up, Mr. Bunter.
Yes, sir.
Expect you'll run into some dirty weather now we're round the Cape.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Wilkins tells me that he's lent you some novels yesterday, Mr. Bunter. Yes, you'd have been better employed reading the books I offered to lend you. I'm afraid you're not spiritually minded, Mr. Bunter. That's what's the matter.
I'm afraid that's what it is, sir.
Has it ever occurred to you how useful it would be if the spirits of the departed could be induced to take a practical interest in our lives? You see, you haven't. What a help it would be to the police, for instance, in the detection of crime. The number of murders, at any rate, would be considerably reduced.
I suppose so. Starboard a point!
Starboard a point, dear sir.
Well, supposing you look at it this way. Where's the use in a spirit trying to communicate with people that have no faith? After all, even a disembodied spirit must have its feelings. It must be all feelings, in a way. Yes, but I'm surprised about one thing. I say, I'm really surprised about one thing, Mr. Bunker.
What's that, sir?
The forbearance shown towards murderers by their victims. Now, that's the sort of apparition that no guilty man would dare to poo-poo. It never occurred to you, Mr. Bunter, that undiscovered murderers must be haunted?
I'd never thought about it.
Ah, there you are then, Mr. Bunter. For myself, if anybody murdered me...
Sir?
I say, if anybody murdered me, I'd never let him forget it. I'd wither him up. I'm terrifying to death. There's nothing to laugh at in that conceited manner, Mr. Bunter. Supernatural visitations have terrified better men than you. Don't you allow me enough soul to make a ghost of?
I beg your pardon, sir. I was thinking...
I shouldn't wonder, Mr. Bunter, if you weren't one of those people that take no more account of a man than if he were a beast. You'd be capable, I don't doubt, of denying possession of an immortal soul to your own father.
Captain Johns,
You don't know what a man like me is capable of.
I shall never forget the look in the black mate's eyes when he said that, clenching his fist and looking at me with a cold ferocity that had murder in it. Oh, yes, he was a man with a secret, a man with something on his mind, a man who perhaps had something on his conscience. I remember thinking just that the night the storm hit us.
Mr. Bunter, Mr. Bunter.
Sir?
Haven't you made all fast in your cabin? Mr. Bunter, the place is awash, man.
I'm sorry, sir.
Why the devil don't you lock the drawers under your berth, Mr. Bunter? When the ship's heeling over like this, of course they fall out. You might have turned the key in each of them before going out on deck.
Oh, confound it. Smashed, both of them. What the devil can I do? There isn't another bottle till we get home. 4 months. What the devil can I do?
Can I help you, sir? Oh, made a proper mess, ain't it, sir?
Yes. Wait a minute. No, go away. Leave me alone. I'll clear up the mess myself.
Very good, sir.
Well, whatever his secret may have been, Bunter refused to share it. His cabin was tidied with the door locked. It wasn't my business to inquire just why. Well, the storm died down within 24 hours, and the weather set fair as we entered the Southern Ocean. But though the wind lay in the right quarter, and the ship was holding a steady course, a change came over the black mate. He kept more to himself than ever. He paced up and down the poop as though in a violent agitation. And then it happened. I was asleep in my bunk when I was wakened by a thumping overhead, the alarm signal from up on deck. It was the black mate's watch.
Where's Mr. Bunter? What's that knocking?
That's me, sir. I let go of the wheel for a second to stamp over your head. I'm afraid there's something wrong with the mate.
What? Where is he?
The last I saw of him was when he fell down the port poop ladder.
Fell down the poop ladder? What did he do that for? I mean, what made him?
I don't know, sir. He was walking the port side. Then just as he turned towards me to come aft...
You saw him?
I was looking at him. And I heard the crash, too. Something awful. Like the mainmast going overboard. It was as if something had struck him.
Come along, man. Did anybody strike him? What did you see?
Nothing, sir. So help me. There was nothing to see. He just gave a sort of, hello, threw his hands before him, and over he went. Crash. I couldn't hear anything more, so I just let go of the wheel for a second to call you up.
You're scared, aren't you?
I am, sir. Straight.
What, you?
I don't know what to think, sir. Honest, I don't.
It's full moon, it's as bright as day. You must have seen something, man.
Only what I've told you, sir. He fell as though something had struck him.
Well, very well, go and see while I take the wheel.
No, I'm scared, sir. Straight I am.
A call for the watch. Hands up! Look at the foot of the port poop ladder. Is the mate lying there?
Sir, the mate's dead.
Dead? Wait a minute.
No! He's not dead, sir. But he's unconscious and bleeding badly. His face is covered with blood.
Ah. Phew, that's a nasty gash. All right, men, all right. Get him down to his bunk. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. If any man can get to the bottom of it.
In a moment, we continue Theatre Royal, starring Sir Ralph Richardson.
When you turn your dial to NBC, you know you can't go wrong. Every day, Monday through Friday, there are selections of music, drama, news, and comedy. Monday brings you a parade of musical listening, both classical and popular, and Tuesday's fare is of the sleuthing variety. Then Wednesday, quiz and quip comedy reigns with a bit of factual drama thrown in. Thursday is Adventure Day on the Western Plains and along the New Orleans waterfront. And tune in Friday for a lineup of laugh provokers. While later tonight, hear Inheritance, a dramatization of another turning point in American history. Fine entertainment, as always, on your NBC station.
We now continue Theatre Royal, starring Sir Ralph Richardson.
Well, Mr. Bunter was laid in his bunk. When the lamp in his room was lit, he looked indeed as if he were dead. But it was not quite as bad as that. He was still breathing. But I sent the second mate on deck to look after the ship, and I waited by Bunter's side for him to regain consciousness. And at last he opened his eyes. He was still unable to speak. He was dazed and inert. A very nasty scalp wound. We had to cut away some of his jet-black hair to make a good dressing. And when it seemed easy, I left him. But he still had not spoken a word. It was as though some terrible fear had robbed him of all speech. It's a rum go, this, Stuart.
Yes, sir.
A sober man that's right in his head doesn't fall down a poop ladder like a sack of potatoes. The ship's as steady as a church.
Yes, sir. Fit of some kind, I shouldn't wonder.
Well, I should. Doesn't look to me as if he was subject to fits or giddiness. But a man's in his prime of life. I wouldn't have another kind of mate, not if I knew it. You don't think that he's a private store of liquor, do you? It seemed to me a bit strange in his manner several times lately. Off his feet a bit, too, I noticed.
Well, sir, if he had had a bottle of grog or two in his cabin, he must have gone over during the storm. Oh, I saw him throw some broken glass overboard, come to think of it. You remember how his cabin was flooded and upset, sir?
Yes, yes, I do. Well, he wouldn't let you help him tidy it up either, would he?
No, sir.
Maybe a secret drinker.
Oh, I never smelt any liquor there, sir. Oh, in any case, sir, you could hardly call Mr. Bunter a drinking man, sir.
No, I suppose not. His breath smells all right, certainly. Steward, there's some mystery here, and I mean to get to the bottom of it.
Yes, sir. The way I look at it, sir, those new half-round brass plates on the poop ladder steps are really dangerous, sir.
Nonsense, man. It takes more than a brass plate to account for an able-bodied man crashing down in that fashion like a felled ox. In any case, the plates are perfectly safe. I had them placed there myself as it happens.
Yes, sir. Well, in any case, it's a mercy he didn't crack his head like an eggshell on the quarterdeck mooring bit, sir. The men tell me he couldn't have missed them by more than an inch.
Mm. The devil looks after his own, perhaps. I went back to have another look at him the next day, but he said nothing at all. He looked at us mutely. Obviously, he understood what we were saying to him, but he never answered.
Doesn't seem to have any will to speak, sir. Doesn't even try to answer.
No. Bunter! Can you hear me, Bunter? Do you understand what we're saying?
Might have been struck dumb, sir. But you can tell by his eyes that he understands you, all right?
Must be the shock that's affected him. Well, keep a good watch over him, Steward.
Aye, sir.
Let me know when there's any change. For 3 days, Bunter didn't say a single word. We had to dress his head every day. He took some nourishment. We made him as comfortable as possible. On the fourth day, he began to look rather better. Come in. Well, what is it, Steward?
I'm sorry, sir. It's the mate, sir. He seems a bit queer. He's up in his chair and he's asking if you could spare a moment, sir. He seems to be in a bit of a state.
Yes, of course. I'll go immediately. About? Hey, Mr. Bunter. Oh. The steward said you wanted to speak to me.
Yes.
Ah. Can you give us any account of your accident? We've been completely mystified, I don't mind telling you. Didn't seem any reason for such an accident, frankly. The ship was as steady as a house that night.
It was no accident, sir.
No accident? You don't mean to say that you've got the falling sickness, do you?
It was nothing like that.
Well, what made you have the tumble, then?
You were right.
Right? How do you mean?
I was right.
I know how it is. You've come here to gloat over me, I suppose.
Bless my soul, what a thing to say.
Well, gloat then, you and your ghosts.
Ghosts? Ghosts? Do you mean to say that you had a supernatural experience on board my ship?
Yes. I've seen what I've seen.
And this ghost, did it knock you down?
Am I the sort of man to be knocked down by a ghost? Don't you remember what you said yourself the other night? Better man than me? You'll have to look a long time before you can find a better man for a mate of your ship.
You've been terrified. Why, even the man at the wheel was scared, though he didn't see anything. He felt the supernatural. You've been punished for your incredulity, Mr. Bunter. You were terrified.
And suppose I was. Do you know what I had seen?
No.
Can you conceive the sort of ghost that would haunt a man like me? Do you think it was an ordinary sort of ghost?
Well, no, of course not. But what was it like?
No. I can't tell you what it was like. Every man has his own ghosts. You couldn't conceive.
Well, Mr. Bunter. I've always thought you were the sort of man who was ready for anything, from pitch and toss to willful murder, as the saying goes. So you were terrified.
I stepped back. I don't remember anything else.
The man at the wheel told me you went backwards as if something had hit you.
It was a sort of inward blow. Something too deep for you, Captain Johns, to understand. Your life and mine haven't been the same. Aren't you satisfied to see me converted?
But can't you tell me any more than that, man?
No, I can't. I wouldn't. It'd be no use if I did. That sort of experience must be gone through. Say I'm being punished. Well, I take my punishment, but talk of it I won't.
This is a different tune from when you first came on board, Mr. Bunter. I don't mean to be unkind or to rub it in, of course, but at least you'll admit that I was right in what I said to you. There are more things in heaven and earth.
I'm not denying that, Captain Johns. Not any longer. You want to know what I have seen. Well, I can never tell you that, Captain Johns. I dare not. All I can tell you is that since I've seen it, my hair is turning white.
Your hair? Turning white? Hold on a moment. I'll light the lamp. What? Good gracious me, heavens above.
You see, can you imagine what it must have been that turned my beard and hair like that?
Turning white in the prime of your life. And it was true. As though the dread, the horror, and the anguish of that visitation were being exhaled through the pores of his skin. A sort of silvery mist seemed to cling to his cheeks and the head of the black mate. His short beard, his cropped hair, were growing not black, but grey, almost the colour of ashes. When next we saw him on deck, it was some days later, thin and shaky. His beard and his head were as white as snow. The man who had scoffed at ghosts, who didn't believe in the supernatural, carried the mark of it upon him to the rest of his days. Well, gentlemen, that's the story of the black mate for you. Every word of that tale is as true as I'm sitting here with you. I give you my word of honor, gentlemen.
An extraordinary story.
Yes. And you never learned what it was he'd seen, Captain?
No, I know I never learned. All I know is that when we got back to Dunkirk, he left the ship under very mysterious circumstances. I've never seen him again from that day to this, nor of any of you.
As a matter of fact, I have.
You have? But when was that?
I see him regularly. He and his wife are friends of mine. They're living quietly down at Deal.
The black mate and his wife?
Yes.
But I didn't know he was even married. I always rather supposed.
You always rather supposed a lot of things, my dear fellow. And of course, he isn't a black mate any longer. He's got a beard and a head of hair as white as, what did you say, as white as snow.
You see, did he ever tell you how it came to be white? You know how dark it was when he joined the Sapphire.
Oh, of course I do. If you think about it, you may remember that I put him onto you in the first place.
Well, yes, so you did, I remember now. But did he tell you how his hair turned white?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he did.
Well, wasn't it the way I told you? Didn't he see a ghost?
Well, no, not exactly. You see, it was like this. You ran into a heavy storm after you'd rounded the Cape, didn't you?
Yes, yes. Yes, I mentioned that.
Yeah, that's right. And the black mate's cabin got flooded and a lot of stuff came adrift and some bottles got smashed.
Well, yes, I mentioned that too.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. Do you know what was in those bottles? Oh, not liquor. You were right there. Bunter doesn't drink. No. Those bottles contained his entire supply of hair dye.
Hair dye? What do you mean?
Yeah. You see, your ideas are very well known around here, Johns. Now, a man that's too old is no good for the job and won't get a job with you. Well, that's what Bunter was afraid of. He was not so young as you thought, and he'd been squeezed out of the Western Ocean packets by younger men just on account of his grizzled hair. Not that there was a better sailor at sea, mind you. He had those youngsters licked by any standards.
But you mean that he wasn't dark at all, that he dyed his hair and his beard? When he joined the Sapphire?
That's right. He wasn't a black mate at all. He hadn't been for the last 10 years. But nobody around here knew that. Well, nobody except me. And I knew how good a sailor he was.
But I still don't understand.
The storm broke his own supply of hair dye, man. And the voyage had still 4 months to go. What could he do? Let the dye grow out of his beard and hair? Let everyone see his hair was really white? He had to think up something to save his face.
But you mean that he faked the fall down the poop ladder?
Oh, no, he fell all right. Might have killed himself. He fell over those darn silly half-round brass plates that you'd had them put on the ladders. Dangerous things, very.
But he distinctly led me to believe...
You didn't need much leading, you know. Most of it you suggested to him yourself.
You know, Captain, you look so staggered, you might have seen a ghost.
This is Ralph Richardson again.